And we're back. It is the Taylor Report. I want to mention that, again, it's news, I guess. I would think it is news. Off regiment burned a Viking longboat in memory of their fallen comrades in the Rivne, in Rivne, that's a region, to watch a replica Drakkar. They know what kind of boat. They're not just talking about any Viking boat. This is a Drakkar ship. Go up in flames. They did it at night, and they all stood on the banks. There's thousands. This is the Azov Brigade. They used to be the brigade. This is a regiment. That's a, and my understanding is that about 1,500 to 2,000, I think, in their regiments. Reported by the Daily Mail, December the 27th, and they among the things that they say about this event, it was that. The Daily Mail said it was a touching tribute, and the former commander, Maxim Jovan, said that it was symbolically sending their comrades to Valhalla. Their notion that they're promoting, and we're talking about uniformed people standing, holding their torches, burning a Drakkar Viking ship in Ukraine to send their fellow members to Valhalla. And but the Daily Mail says that the Azov was founded by neo-Nazis in 2014, something that the Taylor Report we've talked about. They have the Volsangel logo, which is taken from the, according to the Daily Mail, they were founded in eastern Ukraine to fight against those people in the Donbass who were not accepting the coup that happened in Maidan. The democratic government was overthrown in 2014. I never hear anybody in Canada mentioned, but Taylor Report, not wishing to be hypocritical, reminds everyone there was a coup in 2014. There was supposed to be an election, but it never happened. There was papers had been signed. And of course, there was also the agreement, the Minsk, there were two, Minsk 1 and Minsk 2, which were designed to accommodate the Russian-speaking minority in eastern Ukraine. That did not happen. And the Azov were founded in 2014, following Maidan, to attack those people. And I'm quoting the Daily Mail, London, 27 December, founded by neo-Nazis. And that the Volksangel logo is from the Nazi 2nd SS Panzer Division. Very wholesome organization, I gather. I raise this because we're fighting, we're not fighting, we're supplying weapons, some manpower, some training, though I doubt they need any training from the Canadian Army. These guys are veterans, go way back, many of them, because they share our values. So, I mean, I don't want to tell the Pope or the local Anglicans about what their values might be. I know they're the authorities, but a Viking ship, the replica being burned and sending people to Valhalla ought to raise a few questions if we're all sharing the same values. And this comes up among many other matters that are relevant, I believe. I mentioned on December the 15th, by the way, this burning of the ship was on the 26th, so 10 days before that, at the United Nations, the annual resolution on combating the glorification of Nazism and neo-Nazism was introduced. It did pass because the majority of countries have no problem voting for the proposition to combat glorification of Nazism and neo-Nazism. This year, our distinguished Canadian delegate, it would be led by Bob Rae, they voted against that for the first time. They voted against it for the first time. That should be news, I would think, but it's not treated as news here. But it comes at a very disturbing time because other countries, historically on this vote, and it's an annual vote on combating glorification of Nazism, it used to be overwhelming, but this year 50 countries voted against that. That was the European Union, the people who share our values. And all of the Five Eyes countries voted against a resolution that said we must combat Nazism. They voted against it. And so I'm looking at a headline in the Globe and Mail, article by Shannon Proudfoot. It says, world needs to grow up, Canada's UN envoy says. Well, hey, Bob, how about starting with you? Bob has grown. He's grown to vote against a resolution that says we must combat Nazism. Does Nazism exist anywhere? Well, an SS symbol would tend to make me think I'm looking at somebody who's either one or soft on Nazism, if you could put it that way. And 10 days later, they were burning their Viking ship, and Bob wants the world to grow up. And he seems to be progressing the other direction. It was a little sycophantic, silly piece. The interview with Bob Rae is like listening to a guy talking in his sleep. He didn't say anything new. They always call him a Rhodes Scholar. I think it just shows you how bankrupt that title is, because at one, basically attacks Russia, China, which is what he does for a living now. And to give you an example of Bob talking in his sleep, he says, I think we should move on from the phase where we express our amazement and wonder at the speed with which China has grown economically and has industrialized, Mr. Rae says. China likes to pretend it's just another developing country. And you know, nothing going on here, nothing to worry about. And the reality is, this is Bob Rae talking, the reality is they are a major economic, financial, political player in the world. So I call it talking in his sleep because he said the same thing twice. And he said, but we're supposed to be concerned. He said, we shouldn't be in wonder or amazement. Why not? It is a developing country, Bob. They were occupied by Japan. I'm not sure how you feel about Japan. They were on their back. They were in the war to defeat Japanese militarism and Nazism. They were one of our close cheek, my jowl partners, and they were starved and they were slaughtered, but they fought back and they won and liberated their country, and they helped to found, I don't know if Bob knows this, they helped found the United Nations. And then through grit and no great help from the West, they developed. So, but he says, well, we can't say they're just anybody. Why not? Is there something maybe racial about this? Is there? I'm trying to understand why Canada voted against a resolution that would condemn a glorification of Nazism. And this is, and I'm in reading the Globe and reading Bob Rae saying that world needs to grow up is, I call it flat disturbing, actually. It shows how dangerous the times are becoming. I think Canadian people ought to be saying, go back and vote again and vote to condemn the glorification of Nazism, two other countries got on their hind legs for the first time in their years of attendance at the United Nations and said that they were against the condemning Nazism. This is the first time they ever did this. Germany and Japan. They share our values, by the way. Our foreign minister, global affairs minister, Jolie, says they share our values. So our values don't involve condemning Nazism. But, you know, you're talking about two countries that need to examine themselves. Germany did say at the end of World War II, through its leaders, that they were responsible for the war. I wonder if they meant that. Japan, by the way, has always had a problem with saying they take responsibility. They don't, actually. So these are things that Taylor Report, we think you ought to be concerned about. That Germany, Japan decided they could come right out and say, no, we don't feel like having a resolution condemning the glorification of Nazism. And I refer you to, for a cultural note on this, I decided recently I was interested in Japanese movies, and so I was looking into the origins of a movie that I'm fascinated by called Drive My Car. But while I was doing that, I noticed a story. There's a very popular actor. He is a Korean. His name is Hyun Bin. I'm sorry if I mispronounce. And he is he's been very popular in Japan. He's known to be kind of a very glamorous individual, very handsome fellow, and he plays male leads. And suddenly his stock has fallen overnight because he has agreed to play a Korean patriot who fought Japanese colonialism. His name is Hyun Bin, and he's going to be playing, and again, I pardon my pronunciation, he's going to play On Jung Chan, who in 1909 assassinated powerful Japanese colonial boss named Ito. One of his names is Ito. And he is considered as a hero to all Asians who fought Japanese colonialism. The Chinese celebrate him. The Koreans, both North and South, recognize An Jung Chan as a hero, and the name of the movie is Harbin. And I think we should all look forward to seeing that movie. But it is striking that this actor, who was 6 months ago, 8 months ago, was considered one of the top draws, and they said that if you're going to have any kind of an event and he was going to be there, it was guaranteed success. He's becoming a non-person. So maybe we need to look more closely at those who share our values. By the way, what does Canada think of this? Wasn't An Jung Chan the patriot who assassinated the Japanese imperial boss and declared by the way, he confessed to it. I mean, he took a public stand. He said, I did it, and here's why I did it. As a matter of fact, he demanded to be called a prisoner of war for what he did, because Japan was illegally occupying his country, and he they had just made a decision to rob Korea of all sovereignty. They had suppressed the royal family of Korea. The Japanese were on a tear at the time, and so he did. All over the world, there have been heroes of this type. So I think we ought to talk about it in Canada And we should wonder why, you know, he isn't better known here. We should be in solidarity with the people of Korea. It's long overdue that a great film be made about him. There have been films made in the past. But I mention all this again because Japan has decided now that they don't have to join the ritual vote against condemning and combating Nazism and neo-Nazism. They had a very famous, for you to know, they had a famous unit, 731, in Japan, who were tried for war crimes. They had been conducting biological experiments on Koreans and Chinese, killing them in the process, very analogous with what was carried on by Dr. Mengele in Germany. Again, let's just underline, that's a reason to vote to combat Nazism. The Japanese, even though the individuals who were tried confessed, etc., to this day, the Japanese do not like to talk about that and don't wish to take it up. Unfortunately, I wouldn't want to talk about it myself. But since they have decided that they don't have to any longer make this recognition, that now they can... They couldn't have gotten in the United Nations, by the way, in the old days. And when the United Nations was founded and when the issue of their membership came up, they would, that's why they ritually voted in to, of course, they said, yes, combat Nazism. Now they don't. So something is going on and we ought to all be alert to it. This is the Taylor Report. It is CIUT. And again, I said at the top, there's good news. The people of Peru are resisting. In Canada, there's no reporting on this because Canada is already dealing with the people who made the coup in Peru against a union leader and an indigenous individual, Pedro Castillo. He is currently in custody. The population said, let's have a vote and decide what kind of government we want. And there's not going to be any vote. They're not allowing, as I say, because it's a coup, but Canada's in favor of the coup. We need to speak up. One other matter to talk about is our Sinophobia. I already alluded to Bob Ray in his ignorant remarks, talking in his sleep, I believe. There's this thing that we can't seem to get, it's like dandruff, there's been a suggestion that China interfered in the Canadian elections, and there is no evidence. And the Globe and Mail, December 21, had a headline which says, CSIS told PM China secretly targeted 11 candidates in 2019 election. And then there's a second article that they like to base it on, which is the global press or whatever it's called, that said that money had passed hands and that kind of thing. But this article on the 21st actually, despite the headline, actually says there was no evidence that anybody put any money or that anybody from China, any of the Chinese organizations did anything. But there's a proverb that says, fear has magnifying eyes. Once you say something like that, oh, we think China is up, then you can have a headline that contradicts the content of your article. You can say, well, while there's no evidence, there are people who say, and we've got a guy from the Mackenzie Blue, Mackenzie Red, Mackenzie Yellow, something or other institute, and he can sit in front of a camera for 3 minutes and lie about China without any evidence, and everybody's, oh, there you go. He must know because he lives in Vancouver. That would mean he knows everything about China. It's ridiculous. They make us a laughing stock, actually, amongst people who are rational. On a somewhat lighter note, I want to mention this ugly thing that goes on with football, which is, again, I insist it is the American religion. There have been some bowl games. Growing up, I always watched the bowl games. There was the Cotton Bowl, Sugar Bowl, Rose Bowl was the bowl game. But now I notice they have these funny names. And check this out. There's the Verbo Fiesta Bowl. There's the Military Bowl. That was Duke versus the UCF Knights. That's Central Florida. There's the Chick-fil Peach Bowl. The Chick-fil Peach Bowl. There's the Cheez-It Bowl. That was between Oklahoma and Florida State. And there's how about this one? The Guaranteed Rate Bowl. The Guaranteed Rate Bowl. That's going to be Wisconsin and Oklahoma State. And then there's Duke's Mayo Bowl. I'm not even going to look into that. Duke's Mayo Bowl. That's Maryland and North Carolina State. There's the Tax Slayer Gator Bowl. That's going to be Notre Dame and South Carolina. There's the AutoZone Liberty Bowl. That's Kansas and Arkansas. And there's the, I can't believe it, Tax Act Texas Bowl. That's Texas Tech and Ole Miss. And then there's the San Diego County Credit Union Holiday Bowl. Good Lord. Oregon and North Carolina. This should tell everybody that actually the country is in pretty poor shape. I mean, we've said on the show a few times that these are states in the U.S. where they play football, and the football coaches earn twice, three times, four times as much as the governor of those states. So if you want to, you know, figure out why U.S. might be having a problem educating, getting people educated, it might have to do with the stupid tie-in with corporations and the military. And speaking of which, there's also, by the way, I didn't mention the Armed Forces Bowl, in case you were wondering how that was going to go. And at the Rose Bowl this year, a bomber is set to fly over from Ellsworth Air Force Base. So the game isn't complete until the bomber flies over. And if you haven't noticed, the National Football League is in really deep with the military, getting deeper and deeper. And I would say to football fans and to young people who think, oh, I want to play that game, and also I want to be in the military, there's a player named Tua who's had his third concussion now, and they're not sure whether he should play ever again, but they kept putting him on the field previous. And everybody said, oh, the coach didn't know, management didn't know. Well, we sort of knew, but at the end of the day, they want to win the game, and he goes back out on the field. And then there was, if you remember his name, Mr. Kaepernick, he had shared our values, free speech, right to a point of view. He expressed his point of view, and he has never played another game in the National Football League. So I would tell you, if you're a wannabe soldier, they're going to treat you in the Army the way they treat Mr. Kaepernick and Mr. Tua. And they'll fly over you while you're alive, and they'll fly over you when you're gone. I think, by the way, the people of Buffalo damn near smothered to death with snow. So why don't they have one of those bombers fly over so to cheer them all up and show them where their tax dollars are going? This is the Taylor Report, CIUT. See you next week.